Again, today is part 10. The subtitle is Broken Bronze Clasp, Part 4. Broken Bronze Clasp, Part 4. We're covering a particular section there in Genesis having to do with Satan and what he has done within this marriage union, this holy union that God has designed. Do you want to, again, just cover just a little bit of an introduction to the series? Again, the progression that I want us to keep in mind, which is also the title of the series, is love, friendship, love, marriage in the middle, love, death, love. As I have continued to repeat, this institution of marriage was intended by God to last all the way through death. But that certainly is a challenge. But ultimately, this series is about love. This series is about love. Love is the character of God. God is love. And through this series, we're touching on multiple aspects of this divine institution of marriage, an institution that should be all about love. Now, we've been looking at the primary culprit for the problems in marriage, which is Satan, the devil. He is the primary culprit behind the problems, the difficulties, the challenges that exist within marriage. And we're looking at some of the things that he has done with regard to his involvement in marriage causing so many problems, to understand some of the main devices that he has used from the beginning and continues to use to destroy marriage. Not just to cause problems between husband and wives. His objective is to destroy marriage. To destroy that institution. We have been looking at that particular individual. Today, in part 10 of this series, we will continue with the subtitle, Broken Bronze Clasp, Part 4. But let's go back to begin with, over to Genesis. Genesis chapter 2, beginning in verse 24. Again, just laying the foundation, again, for this series. Genesis 2, verse 24. Genesis 2, verse 24 says, therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife. That word joined means to cling to his wife. They are now married. It says, they shall become one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. And the marriage at this point is consummated through the sexual relationship. Marriage is a reflection and is reflected in the covering of the Holy of Holies, or that hoberet. Those two pieces of cloth that covered the Holy of Holies. Go with me back to Exodus. Exodus 26 and verse 10. Exodus 26 and verse 10. Marriage is a reflection of this hoberet. Here in Exodus 26, verse 10, it says, you shall make 50 loops on the edge of the curtain. That word curtain is hoberet. That is the outmost in one set, and 50 loops on the edge of the curtain of the second set. And you shall make 50 bronze clasps and put the clasps into the loops and couple the tent together that it may be one. Again, by analogy, the husband has 25 bronze clasps and the wife has 25 bronze clasps. He hooks his bronze clasp to her hoberet and she hooks her bronze clasp to his hoberet. And as a result of these bronze clasps being hooked, they are coupled together. They cling together. They become one together. Tied together by these 50 bronze clasps. They cling together as one. The beautiful hoberet has been assembled. Adam and Eve are husband and wife. What went wrong? What went wrong? Genesis chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. And this is where we've been focusing. Genesis chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. It says, now the serpent was more cunning. Again, that word cunning means crafty, shrewd, subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree in the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Again, Eve understood what God commanded. She knew what God had said. Verse 4. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, for God knows that in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. There are seven lies in verse 4-5, seven lies. Let's continue in verse 6. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Seven lies. You know, the Apostle Paul made the statement, you can just jot it down. He made the statement over in 2 Corinthians 2, verse 11, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. That's the focus of this series. That's the focus particularly of this particular section of this series. We don't want to be ignorant, unaware, unknowledgeable, unknowing about Satan's devices. Because Satan is out to destroy marriage. That is what his objective is. Go with me over to John chapter 8. John chapter 8 and verse 44. John chapter 8 and verse 44. We need to keep in mind this very important fact, this very important truth regarding Satan, the devil. You drop down to the second sentence there. It says, Satan was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. We have to know that. There is no truth in him. These are the words of Jesus Christ. Christ goes on to say, when he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. So when we read back there to Genesis 3, verse 4, where Satan said to the woman, you will not surely die, for God knows that in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be opened. You will be like God, knowing good and evil. That was a complete lie. The entire statement is a lie. And in those two verses, he tells seven lies. And that's what we've been going through. Remember that a lie is a lie and deception is a lie. And Satan is an expert at both, according to the words of Jesus Christ. There is no truth in him. So we covered at this point the first four of these lies by Satan. We'll cover point five, lie number five today. But lie number one that Satan said, you will not surely die. That's lie number one. Danger in marriage, number one, don't believe the lie. Don't believe the lie. Lie number two, Satan said, for God knows. Danger in marriage, don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. Lie number three, Satan said, in the day you eat of it. Danger number three, don't expect a quick fix. Don't expect a quick fix. Lie number four, Satan said, your eyes will be opened. Danger number four in marriage, don't be bush. Bush, that Hebrew word means don't be in a state of being ashamed for sinning, for breaking God's law. Don't be in that state. And then lie number five today. Lie number five. Let's continue in the context of marriage, this fifth lie. Lie number five, Satan said, you will be like God. Satan said, you will be like God. Lie number five. This is a huge lie. They were already like God. They were already like God. God had made them in his image after his likeness. Satan told this deceptive lie to convince them that being made in the image of God and according to God's likeness was not good enough. They needed more, and he could give them more right now. He lied to them. They were already like God. Go with me back to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. This was a huge lie, a deceptive lie by Satan. Genesis chapter 1, beginning in verse 26. God said, "Let us make man in our image according to our likeness." They were already like God. "Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God created them in his image according to his likeness. Satan promised them something that they already had and made them think that God was, out of envy, withholding something from them. Satan said, "You will be like God." Danger in marriage number five. Danger in marriage number five. And this really is a danger whether you're married or unmarried, because this particular point is really salient for every one of us. Danger in marriage number five. Don't forget, husband and wife, all of us as individuals, don't forget you are already like God. Don't forget that you are already like God. Reality was that there was nothing else that the Word, Jesus Christ, had made during those days of recreation that was like God. Nothing. Only man and woman were created like God. Lucifer, who became Satan, could not claim to be like God. The angels were not made like God. Satan was not made like God. Look at the descriptions of angels that we have in the Bible. Multiple heads, multiple eyes, wings, legs all over the place, wheels upon wheels, all sorts of crazy things. They were not made like God. We were made like God. Lucifer, who became Satan, could not claim that he was like God. Becoming like God was his vain desire. That's what he wanted. By the time of the creation of Adam and Eve, Lucifer had already fallen from his position of light bringer to become Satan. By the time we get over here to Genesis 1, verse 26, where God has fashioned man and fashioned woman, Satan had already rebelled. We can tell that because of his immediate attack with sin. He had already rebelled. He had already fallen from his position as a light bringer. When God proclaims that Adam and Eve, created from the dirt, would have the potential to become like God, that must have sent Satan into a mad frenzy. Go with me over to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 14, beginning in verse 12. We go to Isaiah chapter 14, beginning in verse 12. This lie that Satan told Eve and Adam was particularly designed to get them to accept sin and bring in jeopardy their opportunity for eternal life. That is what his objective was, to destroy them. Because ultimately, Satan's vain desire was that he wanted to be like God. He wanted to be like God. He wanted to be like God, but that was not God's plan for the angelic world. God did not create the angelic world to be like him. He created human beings to be like him. Let's pick it up here in Isaiah chapter 14, beginning in verse 12. says, how are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How are you cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations? For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit on the mount of the congregation on the furthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Wait a minute. That's not your call. God said that human beings that I have created from the dust of the ground and breathed into their nostrils the breath of life, they are the ones that are going to be like God. You have a different purpose. Satan wasn't satisfied with that. So you begin to see a glimpse into why he is telling Adam and Eve this horrible lie. Because out of his vain mind and heart, that's what he wanted. He said, I will be like the Most High. But that was not Satan's destiny. He was an angel. And as that created being, his destiny is not to be like God in the family of God, a child of God, but his destiny is to be a servant to those who were created in the image and likeness of God, human beings who are destined to be children of God. That is what his role is. Angels were created to be servants of the God family. And he is very unhappy about that, to the point that he wanted to destroy God's plan right from the beginning. Satan got Eve and Adam to forget all about the wonderful gift and promise that God had given them and caused them to become covetous over what God, out of love, would give them fully in God's time. In God's time, God would give Adam and Eve fully his very name as well as his very substance. That was the plan. You see, before they could, Adam and Eve become God and receive the power and wisdom that accompanies that title, before they could receive the character and the spiritual composition that would be necessary, they would have to be made spirit beings. But even in that physical state, they were already in the image and likeness of God. They were already like God. We covered some of this in part 4 of the series. In Genesis, God reveals that man was made in the image of God, what we just read, meaning that the form and the shape of God. We are not made after any other animal kind. Our Creator decided to make us, to make man and woman, in the form and in the shape and the image of himself. Mankind was also made like God. That word like in the Hebrew is demuth. Demuth. D-M-W-T-H. D-M-W-T-H. Demuth. It means resemblance, fashion, likeness, manner, similitude. Similarity in character or nature between persons or things. The biblical languages of semantic domains, Hebrew Old Testament, says of demuth, that which has similarity or composition. Vine's Complete Expository Dictionary of the Old and New Testament says of demuth, signifies the original after which a thing is patterned. See, likeness has to do with the similarity in character or nature, or ability between persons or things. Man and woman were given the intelligence, decision-making, creativity to have dominion over the physical creation of the earth, with the plan in the future that we would also assume a great deal of responsibility over the spiritual realm. We were the ones who would be like God and were created like God, not Satan. Man and woman were made in the image and likeness of God. This is the original of which man and woman are patterned. All other created things in the physical creation were made according to their kind with finality. What you see is what you get, or what it is. It is what it is. They were made after their own kind, their own related substance, their own related image and shape and likeness. angels were made after the angelic kind, not after the God kind. Man and woman, on the other hand, were made in the image and the likeness of God, but not according to the God kind in substance yet. Mankind was made physical. God is spiritual. Mankind was made incomplete with the potential to be in the image and full likeness and kind of God. The final created state of mankind and why mankind was created is not emphatically stated only in Genesis. It is throughout the Bible where God reveals our ultimate state. Throughout the Bible, by these two words, image and likeness, we know that we, man and woman, are in the form and shape of God, and we know that we have characteristic traits of God. Therefore, the role and responsibility of man and woman is to respect the image and likeness, the form and character of each other, who are in the image and likeness of God, with the planned potential to be made fully like the God kind, which is eternal spirit. We have to respect that within marriage for one another. Satan does not want that to happen. If Satan could thwart the plan of God by causing Adam and Eve to sin, then their chance to become the very spirit-born children of God, to bear the very name of God, and to be in a position in the very family of God over him would be no more, Satan thought. See, Satan had already been cast out from the presence of God. He knew that God the Father cannot exist in an environment of sin. He knew that. So what was his deal? If I can only get Adam and Eve to sin, then this whole plan of them becoming like God is done with. Because sinners cannot dwell with God. So that was his objective. That was his objective, to get them to sin, knowing that they would not be able to be in God's presence. Therefore, they would not ever be able to assume a role over him as an angel. It is so critically important that within marriage, the husband never forgets that his wife has been created like God and that her future is to be God. The wife must never forget that her husband has been created like God and his future is to be God. Perspective that we must not forget. This is a truth that Satan understood and would endeavor to stop in every way. This is the truth that the religious world does not grasp, that mankind is to become spirit-born members of the God family. We were created like God. We were created in the image of God. Our plan, God's plan, is that we will be above the angels. You see, at most, even the Eastern religion, even the Eastern religions, human beings, or the soul of a human being, can only rise to the level of sainthood. Almost every religion out there, the highest that a human being could ever evolve after death, after becoming whatever it is they believe we become after death, the highest level is something equivalent to an angel or a saint. The Bible says that we are going to be above that. All the religions of the world, Eastern and otherwise, you get to the level of something of a saint or something at that level. Hindus believe that humans are created for perfection and should achieve it in this life. They also believe that a person's future and class in society are determined by their actions and thoughts in previous lives. Hindus believe that if a person fails to achieve perfection in this life, they will be reborn repeatedly over and over again. And when perfection is finally achieved, their freed soul will live in a state of divine bliss with this super being, as an angel or an essence. That's it. Muslims believe that you will live in paradise enjoying pleasures based on your righteous living on earth. Traditional Jewish belief is all over the place. All over the place. Generally, they believe in various iterations after death, none of them stating that man will be like God. They don't believe that. And then traditional Christianity believes that you will become a saint or an angel with wings and gaze at the glory of God for all eternity, right? The highest that you'll get is I just can't wait to get my wings and assume my position in heaven as an angel, and I can gaze at God all day. That's it. Do we understand how clever Satan is? Satan has duped the religious world to believe that the highest level that human beings can attain is the same level that he is. All of the religions of the world, the highest level that they believe you can attain is the same level as Satan. Satan has duped mankind to say, the best you all can be is where I am. The best you all can be is an angel. The best you all can be is a saint. My same level. But that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible says that we are going to be above the angels. Why? We're going to be in the family of God. No other religion teaches that. But that's what the Bible teaches. You see, when Satan said to Adam and Eve, you'll be like God, at the very most, he said, if I can't get you all to sin and forfeit your opportunity to become a member of God's family, then I'll dupe you into believing that the highest you'll ever get is equal with me. What a travesty. What a travesty. We visited the Vatican in Rome at one of the feasts. And in the Vatican at Rome, and duplicated throughout places of worship in multiple religions, are pictures of angels, quote unquote angels, babies with wings, naked babies with wings, naked humans with wings. All sorts of these angelic paintings, beautiful paintings, but false paintings, false religion. This is what the highest you can get to. All over the place. That's part of Satan's deception. But what does the Bible teach? What does the Bible teach? Romans 9, 26. I'll go through a couple of these quickly. Romans 9, verse 26. Romans 9, 26 says, and it shall come to pass in the place where it was said to them, you are my people, there they shall be called the sons of the living God. Not angels, very sons of the living God. You see, Satan hates that concept. He hates that truth. That someone, that these individuals that God reached into the soil, into the dirt, formed and shaped in dirt, breathed into their nostrils the breath of life, then placed with them a human spirit, took the rib out of Adam, formed and shaped the woman, breathed into her nostrils. She's now, there they are, dirt and water, living beings, placed with them his Holy Spirit, that these two things are going to be over me? You have to be kidding. You see how crazy he is about that. God says, you shall be called sons of the living God. John 10, verse 34. You can jot it down. John 10, verse 34. Profound statement by Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ answered them, speaking to the Jews, And really speaking to all of us, all of mankind, Jesus Christ said to them, is it not written in your law? I said, Jesus Christ said, you are gods. That's what I said in your law. Read your law. He's quoting Psalms 82, verse 6. Psalms 82, verse 6 says, I said, you are gods. That word gods in the Hebrew is Elohim. I said, you are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. That's the plan for human beings. Psalms 82, verse 6 out of the Tanakh says, I said, you are God-like beings. That's what it, how it's translated in the Tanakh. I said, you are God-like beings, and all of you sons of the Most High. The truth of Scripture is so much more profound than the accepted beliefs of many religions. The Bible teaches that we will become God and are God-like beings even now. That's incredible. Satan was aware of God's plan for mankind and attacked it at the very core, the creation of Adam and Eve and the marriage union by which God designed within us reproductive capabilities to bring forth additional human beings who also have the potential to become God. You see that? God said, not only have I created Adam and Eve of the dust of the ground, I breathe into the nostrils the breath of life, I put into them a human spirit, they have characteristics like me, they're like me, I've given them their Holy Spirit, but guess what? I'm going to give them the ability to reproduce within marriage, to reproduce, to bring forth God-like beings to expand the family. That had to blow Satan's mind. Because he cannot do that. He cannot reproduce. If he could, imagine what he would be doing. Yes, I convinced a third of the angels to come, and they can reproduce. So I'm going to have a vast reproduction program. And I'm going to have billions upon billions. He doesn't have that ability. That is something that God placed within mankind. It's through this holy process of marriage that God brings forth godly offspring. Go with me over to Malachi chapter 2 and verse 15. Malachi chapter 2 and verse 15. You see, this lie by Satan. This lie by Satan was a deep, convoluted lie to destroy their opportunity for salvation, he thought. Malachi 2, verse 15 says, but did he not make them one, having a remnant of the Spirit? And why one? He seeks godly offspring. Therefore, take heed to your spirit and let none deal treacherously with the wife of his youth. A powerful section there. God said, I made them one. I gave them a remnant of my Holy Spirit. Why? Because they have the power to bring forth godly offspring. What an incredible plan of God to place the reproductive process of bringing forth godly offspring into the hands of mankind. We can create godly offspring. That is something Satan cannot do. It doesn't matter the circumstance or the situations under which a human being is born, under which a human being takes the breath of life. And God tells us that life is in the blood. So however he'll even work out the situation with aborted babies, if God says that that baby had life at that time, that baby aborted or living, breathing or dead, has the potential to become a child of God. And God placed that ability within human beings. And he didn't give Satan that capability. And Satan has a nerve to tell Adam and Eve, you shall be like God, when they already were. He recognized that we had capabilities, we had a future, we had abilities that far surpassed what God had planned for him. Satan believed that if he could convince Adam and Eve to sin, knowing that sinners could not exist alongside God the Father in the heavenly realm, that if he could convince them to sin, that Adam and Eve would not be granted the position of child of God. He thought. Satan, however, did not count on the willingness of the Word, the Alpha, the Omega, the Word of God, Jesus Christ in the God form. He did not count on the willingness of God to die for his creation. He didn't calculate that, because that is something that he could not comprehend. He would never die for his creation. He would never die for the third of the angels that followed him. But Jesus Christ was willing to die for us, so that even if we sinned, there was a path for us still to become God. Through repentance, through the shedding of his blood, and through his resurrection. Therefore, Satan told Adam and Eve this great lie: eat the forbidden fruit and disobey God, and you will be like God. Disobey God and you will be like God. But Adam and Eve were already like God, or God-like, physical, corruptible beings. And Satan knew that. Even if Adam and Eve had not sinned, even if Adam and Eve had not sinned, at some stage in their existence, they would have had to be changed, because they were physical. At some point in their existence, they still would have had to be changed. If they sinned, God said, if you sin, you die. If they had not sinned, they still would have had to be changed from a physical being to a spirit being. I believe scripture indicates that if man had not sinned, they would not have returned to dust, but instead would have been changed without the experience of death. Go with me over to Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Romans 5, verse 12. At what point did death for mankind enter into the equation? At what point did death enter into the equation? I don't believe death entered into the equation at the point in which God created Adam and Eve, based on scripture. Romans 5, verse 12. It says, Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin. It was at the point in which they sinned where death became the part of the equation. If they had not sinned, they still would have needed to have been changed from physical to spiritual in order to assume the position that God had created for them. But because they sinned, death came into the world. It says, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. Genesis 3:19 says, in the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. This was the curse. This is when death entered in. For out of it you are taken, for dust you are, and dust you shall return. I believe that if sin had not taken place, there wouldn't have been a return to dust. There would have been a returning immediately to spirit being. Hebrews 9:27. As it is appointed for men to die once, after this, the judgment. Appointed to die once, why? Because of sin. 1 Corinthians 15:53. In order to be in the presence of God, you need to be changed from corruptible, mortal, fleshly being to incorruptible, immortal. 1 Corinthians 15:53, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Because of Satan's sin and lie, not just the physical death, but also eternal death became a part of the equation. Because now at this point, if you refuse to obey God, after God opened your mind, given you the opportunity for eternal life, and you say, I don't want it, I'm not going to obey you, God says, fine, then it's eternal death for you. But every man and woman who's ever lived will have the opportunity to accept God's way of life and become a part of the God family because they were made in the image and likeness of God. It says in verse 54, so when this corruptible has put on incorruption and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying which is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Satan wanted to destroy man's destiny to be God. He wanted to destroy man's destiny to judge angels. Man having been made a little lower than the angels temporarily. Temporarily. At some point in time after Jesus Christ, God the Father created mankind, message got out that these are the ones that God is going to have judge angels. Satan probably lost his mind. He already decided to sin. He already decided to rebel. He was already placed away from God's heavenly throne because God can't exist with all of that. And now Jesus Christ is going to make human beings something out of the dirt and put them over us and call them like me, like God. In the context of marriage, when you look at your wife, when you look at your husband, although you don't see all that God sees, do you see what Scripture says you should see? A child of God who is already like God or God-like and destined, if they are obedient to Him, they follow His law, if they repentant of their sins, they do what God requires, destined to be greater than the angels. Do we understand how great this lie, this deception by Satan is? He was so convincing to Adam and Eve that Eve could not look at her husband and remember that he was already like God. He was so convincing that Adam could not look at Eve and realize that she was already like God. What do you mean you'll be like? I'm already like God. I see it in her. Well, you're giving me an empty promise, Satan. God has already promised that. He was so convincing that they could not see that. Satan had achieved his deception by convincing both of them that they were not already like God and becoming like God. Becoming like God, Satan said, they needed something that he was offering them, and which is the knowledge of good and evil achieved through disobedience to God. You get that? He says, look, you want to be like God? I tell you how to be like God. Disobey God, and guess what? Now you're going to be like him. That's insane. But that's what he told them, and they believed it. Basically what he's saying, the way to become like God is to be disobey God. Then you're going to have the knowledge of good and evil, and you're going to be like him. So what is he saying about God then? This lie not only throws things in the face of human beings, it not only destroys marriage. It's a statement against the very God of heaven that he makes that statement. That through the knowledge of good and evil, by disobeying God, you're going to then become like God. Why? Because in his mind, God is not trustworthy. God is disobedient. Satan doesn't play. He's a master deceiver. He is a liar and the father of it. The marital state that Adam and Eve were in was a holy institution to bring forth godly offspring. What made it holy was the presence of God. What made it holy was the symbolism of that Hoberet, which symbolized the relationship between God the Father and Jesus Christ. And that symbolism was in the Holy of Holies, in the tabernacles, that whole area covered by the symbolism. Why? Because it's through that symbolism that God says, I'm going to bring forth godly offspring. I'm going to expand my family, something Satan cannot do. This marriage union is a holy institution. We have fallen so far from what God intended. Again, just as the sanctuary covering of the Hoberet in the two different sizes, one smaller than the other, one representing the woman, one representing the man, both having their 25 clasps, bronze clasps, hooked to one another, connected to one another, was like that Hoberet beneath it, where the two sides, because they represented God the Father and Jesus Christ, those two were of equal size, and they had golden clasps between them. And the marriage union was to represent that. One Hoberet was like the Hoberet. It wasn't an exact duplicate yet. One was bronze, the other was gold. It is my strong belief that Satan knew this. At some point in time, he knew that Adam and Eve were holy because of the presence of God, and he knew that they were already like God. Go with me over to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 5. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 5. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 5 says, for he, speaking of God, for he has not put the world to come, of which we speak, in subjection to angels. He hasn't put the world to come. The world to come, God's kingdom. The world to come, the throne of God. All of that. He has not put that to be under angels, in subjection to angels. But one testified in a certain place saying, what is man that you are mindful of him? Or the Son of Man that you take care of him. You have made him a little lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor. You set him over the works of your hands. You have put all things in subjection under his feet. That is what God has planned for man. Incredible. All the things that the religious world has created just falls into nothingness in comparison. Compared to what scripture says that God has designed for our future. Again, at the highest level, Satan has duped the world to believe the highest you can ever get is the same level with me. And God said, I haven't put the future world under you. I've saved that for, that which I created out of the dirt and the soil of the earth. That's their destiny. Now, when you read through this section right here in Hebrews 2, verses 6 to 8, I can even hear Satan saying this. What is man that you're mindful of him? Well, the Son of Man that you take care of him. You made him a little lower than the angels. You crown him with glory and honor. You set him over the works of your hand. You made all things in subjection under his feet. I can't believe you did that. You know, through the Apostle Paul, Jesus Christ reveals an incredible thing that is made clear with regard to our future responsibility. Go with me over to 1 Corinthians 6, verse 3. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 3. This is an incredible powerful statement by the Apostle Paul. Incredible statement by the Apostle Paul that gives us a clear indication of what Jesus Christ and God the Father has planned for us that is absolutely mind-boggling. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 3 says, "Do you not know that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life?" Do you not know that we should judge angels? That's an incredible statement. You know, Paul makes this statement as if we ought to know this. Now, I have a question for Paul, because I spent some time trying to figure out how is it that I should have known this? Because he says it like, you know, don't you know this, that you should judge angels? And I want to ask Paul, how was I supposed to know that I was supposed to judge angels, that that was in my future? You know, when I look at these scriptures, and I'll just jot, you know, you can just jot these scriptures down briefly. Psalms 91, 11, Psalms 34, 7, Matthew 4, 6, Hebrews 1, 14. Psalms 91, 11, Psalms 34, 7, Matthew 4, 6, and Hebrews 1, 14 all seem to indicate the supremacy of angels over mankind. Now, I'm sure when I say to Paul, "Paul, how was it that I was supposed to know that I am to be able to judge angels, that that was in my future?" He's like, "Oh, didn't you read over here in such and such, and also over here in such and such, and back over here in such and such?" I just haven't found that yet. I know it's there, because he says it so emphatically. Don't you know this? That you're going to judge angels? To be able to judge angels, the beings that, as far as we can tell in Scripture, occupy a position below God, we will have to be above the angels and possess the very mind of God, the character of God, the decision-making powers of God, and possibly creative powers like God to be able to judge angels. I mean, that blows my mind. And Paul says it like, you ought to know this. That's incredible. That's incredible. Just muse for a moment on what it means for your husband or your wife to be granted the gifted position in the family of God to judge angels. To judge angels. I mean, where are we today? You can't tell me what to do. How dare you tell me, you know, what to do? Well, you know, the reply might be, what do you mean? I'm going to be judging angels in the future. Well, I can tell you what to do. But see, we deal down here at this human level with such passion, and we forget what God has in plan for us. Satan cannot conceive that human beings would be in a position over him. This word judge, where it says you shall judge angels, this word judge is a very powerful word. It's krino, krino. This is out of the English, Greek English lexicon of the New Testament. This word krino means to come to a conclusion in the process of thinking, and thus to be in a position to make a decision, to come to a conclusion, to decide, to make up one's mind. Right? We will be in a position to sit and evaluate angels and come to a conclusion. You have to have the mind of God to be able to do that. This is out of the Dictionary of Biblical Languages, Semantic Domains, Greek New Testament. It gives these particular statements with regard to the word krino. Krino means to decide, to come to a decision, to prefer, to judge one thing better than another, to evaluate, to judge based on correctness of something, to hold a view, meaning to have an opinion, to make legal decisions, to decide a legal question of right or wrong, to condemn, to judge as guilty, to rule over people or to govern. Now, I don't know what Paul meant by us judging angels. Did that mean that there are angels that are wrong? Are we going to be judging the third of the angels that went with Satan? Are there some that are still on the fence that need a judgment? the thought is mind-boggling. What are we going to be judging them according to? Based on what they have done, what they have said, what they created, the intents of their spirit, whatever the case might be? And again, can you imagine what Satan thinks when he thinks, wait a minute, you created these guys out of dirt, and now they're going to be in a position to judge me and my minions? You see how stunningly this lie is that he told. A stunning lie. Isaiah 14, verse 13. Isaiah 14, verse 13, again, we read this earlier. It is the desire of Satan to be above God, to be way above God, where he says, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. I'm going to be like the Most High, not those humans. I want that throne. I want that position. It belongs to me. And God says, nope. Nope. You designed and created to be their servants. Again, here in Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. Let's continue reading here in verse 8. It says, you have put all things in subjection under their feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we do not yet see all put under him. We don't see it all yet. But God tells us that one of the things that he pointed out to us there in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 3, one of the things that's going to be under us is the angels, Satan, and his minions themselves. An incredible, astounding truth. It says here, verse 9, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, and that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. He undid Satan's plan. He said, I'm going to stand in the place of death, right? So if we go back to our initial statement that if Adam and Eve had not sinned, if Adam and Eve had not sinned, they would have gone from physical to spiritual, not taste death. So Jesus Christ says, guess what? By me giving my life for them, I have tasted death for them. So now it's possible, when they're resurrected, to go from physical, boop, to spiritual. And Satan, your plan falls apart. He knows that even now. That's why he is so zealous to destroy the marriage union. Because he knows that within our powers, even now, every human being that's born under whatever the condition it takes place or doesn't take place, that human being has an opportunity to become a child of God and to be in a position to judge angels. Satan does not want that plan to come about for us, just like he didn't want that plan to come about for Adam and Eve. For us to be like God, to have the name of God written upon us, makes Satan feel incredulous. He cannot fathom such and will not wait peacefully for it to take place. Go with me over to Revelation 3, verse 12. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 12. This is God's plan for us. This is how he lays it out for us. What he wants us to do is to overcome. What he wants us to do is to repent. What he wants us to do is to follow his word. That's what he wants for us. Why? Because of what Jesus Christ says here, Revelation 3 verse 12. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. This is what he didn't say this to Satan and the angels. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. He shall go out no more. What happened to Satan? Satan was there. He rebelled. He's out. These human beings that I have created, if they overcome, they will come into my temple. They will not go out. Our character, our likeness of God will be set in spirit. It says, I will write on him my new name, the name of the city of my God, New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God. I will write on him my new name. That name isn't written on Satan. It's not written on the angels. It's written on those human beings who overcome. And Satan had the nerve to tell Adam and Eve, you'll be like God. And the way to become like God is to disobey him. And then you'll have the knowledge of good and evil, which we'll cover next time. You know, this Sabbath day, including the annual holy day, served to keep us on the road towards eternal life, becoming permanent members of the family of God, one day to no longer be heirs, right? Our destiny is to one day no longer be heirs of the kingdom of God, but to be children in the kingdom of God. That's the goal. That's the prayer, bearing his name. For Satan to say to Eve, you will die, you will not surely die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, was an outright lie. It was a lie that extended not just in the existence of Adam and Eve, but it's a lie that has perpetrated itself throughout all of humanity and into every religion of this world, where they cannot even fathom that the highest level that they can achieve is above that of the angels. He has pulled his wool over the eyes of the world. Adam and Eve were already like God, and God's plan was to make them the very sons and daughter of God in his image, in his substance, in his character, to be able to judge angels. What steps can be taken to combat this lie of Satan? I only have 3 points. What steps can be taken to combat this lie of Satan? And again, particularly this particular section that we've gone through today isn't just applicable to husbands and wives. It's applicable to every human being. Every human being, married or not, have been designed in the image of God to become like God. That's our destiny. If we overcome, as it says there in Revelation 3, verse 12, what steps can be taken to combat this lie of Satan? Number one, 3 simple points here. Number one, remember that you are already in the image and likeness of God. Remember that you are in the image and likeness of God. To be in the image and likeness of God means that you have a huge responsibility to fulfill that requirement, a requirement that if fulfilled will lead to having the substance and eternal life as God does. You are already in the image, already in the likeness of God. Our job is to overcome. Point number two, remember that your mate was made in the likeness of God. Remember that your mate was made in the likeness of God. Husband and wives, it can be tough sometimes for us to remember that our mate is like God and destined to bear God's very name. If we already covered in some parts of the series, and we'll get to in the latter part of the series, sadly, the truth is that there are some individuals who totally have abandoned that responsibility of husband, totally abandoned that responsibility as wife, and the outcome has been separation and divorce. We even see that in Scripture with Jesus Christ, God the Father, and Israel and Judah, how they rebelled to him, they rejected him. So we know that does happen. But the question is, what are we doing? What are you doing? What is your mindset? We just at times lack the vision to give each other the love and respect sometimes that we should. We want our spouse to be like us. You know, isn't that the case? We want our if she only did what I asked, what does that really say? I want you to be like me, because if you're like me, you'll be doing what I ask you to do. Matter of fact, if you were like me, I wouldn't be asking you to do what I'm asking you to do. You would already be doing it. And on the other hand, the wife might say, if he only did what I needed. If he only did what I needed, I have needs. I have desires. I have things, etc. If he would just take attention and pay some attention to what I need. Both of which are true to a certain extent. We press hard to shape, unfortunately, each other into the image that we want them to be, which likely may not match the image and likeness that God wants for them. So we have to sometimes slow it down. We have to back it up. We have to remember that our mate is in the likeness of God and start there. Number three, remember that Satan's desire is to be like God, and that has not changed and that will not change. Remember that Satan's desire is to be like God, that has not changed and that will not change. And because that is his desire, he is going to do whatever he can to destroy marriages, to destroy families, to destroy children, to cause all sorts of questions about anything having to do with marriage, to the extent today that you cannot even know whether or not, in some instances, whether you're a male or a female. It's Satan's hands. It's not anything for us to ridicule. We have to realize who's behind this. Because ultimately, God says, I created him male and female. Why? To bring forth godly offspring, place my character into them, place my spirit into them. I want them to bring forth godly offspring. Satan knows that every child that is born has that potential. The best way that he can break it down first is by attacking marriage. That doesn't work. Then attack this. Attack everything he can. Now, what is he doing today? He's attacking the very fabric of individuals knowing, just very simple, what their sexual identity is. Because that fits into his plan of not having not only godly offspring, eventually fits into his plan of not having any offspring. You see what Satan is doing. Remember that Satan's desire is to be like God, and that has not changed. Satan will continue to do whatever he can to fulfill his vain desires. And if he cannot have what he wants, he certainly does not want any of us to achieve what God wants for us. God says, "We shall judge angels." What an incredible, humbling, and scary thought. Lie number five that we covered today, Satan said, you will be like God. Danger in marriage number five, don't forget you are already like God. We have to overcome. We have to work hard on our marriages. We have to work hard on ourselves as individuals, single, because at the end, married or not, we have to be like God. And to totally receive what all that means, we have to overcome. And as I read over there in Revelation 3, verse 12, Jesus Christ says, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. He shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God, the name of the city of my God, New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God. And I will write on him my new name. Don't forget you are already like God. There are two more lies by Satan in Genesis 3, verse 5. They correspond to dangers in marriage. Next time, we'll continue with lie number 6. Satan said, you will be like God, knowing good. What a lie. Knowing good. Next time, marriage, part 11. Love, friendship, love. Marriage in the middle. Love, death, love. Broken bronze clasp, part 5.